Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name's David Reed, and this is Marek Larwood. Hello, Marek.
Hello, David.
Here we are again for yet another week talking about films.
Another week. More films.
Exist.
Yeah.
Than more films exist now than have ever existed before.
More and more content, and the quality's probably less.
You think? You think overall now, if you watched every single film, it would probably be a worse experience than having watched every single film 50 years ago?
I think it probably peaked in the late 80s.
Is that because of the generation you are a part of?
No.
Okay.
Because I'm correct.
Okay. Okay, fair enough.
I'm no longer in the main generation. I'm out of touch now.
Okay.
I went. I've experienced. I've had a week of experiences. I talked about this before, but and some listeners may know, but this is also a plug. Because of my flailing career, I decided I was trying to make a video a day for a week. So I went out every single day and edited a video, made it out the next day. It took me about 18 hours a day, but I had a lot of interaction with the general public.
Yes.
I think standards of behaviour, I'm sure every generation says this, but standards of behaviour have fallen.
In what sense? What happened?
Just people who, if you're filming or talking to them on your camera, people just walk straight, a amount of times people walked straight into me or were saying something or just came and had no sense of anyone's personal space, or I was looking at some exhibit in a museum and the rest of the thing was empty and someone would come along and interrupt me filming or just look at, or stand in front of me in an empty room was quite staggering. I should have made an essay on the lack of observance of personal space in the modern age. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I've got a weird radar where my personal space...
Well, you're sending out, like, pheromones that say, invade me.
No, I think... It's like when you get on a bus.
Yeah.
Unwritten rule is that until their seats are no longer free,
don't sit next to someone.
You don't sit next to someone, or you leave the space in front or behind are generally no go. It's always weird if you sit there
directly behind someone, yeah,
or in front of someone.
Yeah,
it's just unwritten rules.
I don't think in front of someone's a problem,
but if it's.
Because it's about trust, isn't it? So it's like...
Yeah. That's less bad than the behind someone.
Yeah, definitely.
But if the whole of the bus is empty...
Yeah.
And you ask a normal person to fill up that bus, and maybe you start with one person, right, yeah, that person can sit there, where can you sit? You want to give everyone space, and the bus starts filling up. In a mathematical, computerised exercise...
Yes. I think people have done studies on this as well.
Have they?
There's one I know about, which is... Here's a nice one for you. It's got nothing to do with films. We'll get on to that in a second. Mathematically, what is the safest toilet to use in a public toilet?
Your own hands.
Incorrect. And that's why you have a disease. It's the one closest to the door. Because everybody always comes in, apparently, and they even subconsciously go, oh, everyone uses that one. So they start from the second toilet.
Okay.
In terms of counting which one they're going to go
to. You would never use the last toilet because you think that's the one that all the drugs, the really horrible shits, and everything takes place in the very end one.
Sure, but the first one is the cleanest.
Most first toilets have never been urinated.
Never been used. But anyway, we're not here to talk about toilets and personal space.
I wish we were.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. We've got other things to do.
I listened to some other film podcasts.
Oh, yeah? For research or for revenge?
Yeah, because I'm back to painting and decorating now. And I'm listening to quite a lot of podcasts to make up my day. And there's a lot of chat, of non-film chat.
Right.
And some of it, it's very... I mean, I'm not saying this is probably quite poor, but I think poorer than this.
This is grade A quality content.
But some of them... This is not... I mean, this is only... this is a very niche podcast.
Yeah.
Listened to by Chris Webb and...
and a load of spam bots, as far as I'm concerned.
An increasingly dwindling audience. But one's in the top 10... I was quite surprised by the amount of inane chatter.
Well, we should do more inane chatter, such as this.
Talking about the bumming man, which...
That is technically film-related. I mean, it will happen one day. We just have a funding problem at the moment, that's all.
Yeah. If someone's won the lottery and wants the bumming man to get made...
then give us all of your lottery winnings.
I reckon I could do it.
Yeah? For how much?
Well, I'm desperate. I mean, depending on what you want it to be in the film and the quality...
I would like it to be the highest quality.
Well, that got millions and millions.
Yeah.
Well, I can't do it then.
What's the least you think you could make it on?
Well, I could shoot it on the camera I film my films on.
Sure.
And it would probably... would it have to be an hour and a half?
Yeah, just under. Probably 85 minutes at least.
And would I need another cast or could I play them all myself?
I think if you were shooting it, you'd also need cast members, yeah.
I could do it... I've managed to film all my stuff myself. I could do it myself.
So it's not a found footage film. Well, it is, but it's a selfie film. It's a film shot entirely in selfies.
But you just set the camera on a tripod. I could do it myself. An hour and a half. So say that's 5 minutes a day plus... you can edit 5 minutes a day. I need to survive. My bare minimum is £70. Someone work it out. I could probably do it for about £5,000.
Okay. Well, there you go. If you'd like the bumming man to exist, £5,000 is the asking price, apparently. That can all go to Marek. I don't know if he wants me involved at this point.
Well, how much do you charge? What's your day rate?
Well, it depends what you want me to do.
Well, you're going to be playing the bleacher, aren't you?
The bleacher, yeah. The
guy bleaches people's arseholes.
That's right. But playing everyone else, it would have to be your arsehole.
That'd be a problem, wouldn't it?
That'd be a real problem.
Because once it would be... Well, it wouldn't be a problem, Gemma, but...
bleach is good, but it's not that good.
The problem would be, is once it's bleached...
Yeah, it's bleached. And then we need to bring hair and makeup back in.
Yeah, we need to unbleach
it. To refoul it up.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds expensive, to be honest. Maybe the bleachers for the sequel.
We're talking never £45,000.
Yeah, we are. We are, just to add the bleacher into it.
Well, let's talk about actual films.
Actual films. Well, I went to the cinema this week. I went to the Picture House Central to use my lovely free tickets, which I got.
Why? Do you remember?
I'm a member, and they closed I forgot they closed. I went along to see a film, and there was a really rude, surly bouncer on the door. He was like, "Not a cinema tonight! Not a cinema!" I was just like, "Oh, can we use the bar?" He was like, "Not a cinema!" They wouldn't communicate at all. Clearly been told this sentence. But because they were having some sort of advertising industry showcase thing there. But as a result, they gave all of their members a couple of free tickets to later showings to make up for the fact that they'd sold out their safe place for an evening. Which was heaven send, because I went to a 3D screening because it was the only one I could go to. Tickets, I believe, were £23 each.
What?
So I got 46 quid worth of...
Did you get glasses as well?
Yeah. But all for free because of that. But I went to see The Jungle Book, which is Disney's remake, basically, of their 1960s classic.
Mm-hmm.
This one directed by Jon Favreau with an enormous amount of CGI in it. I mean, it's almost a cartoon, actually. There is a human boy in it playing Mowgli, and he runs around, presumably some real sets, but the entire thing is set in India, but it was filmed in LA, indoors. the entire thing. Which sounds charmless. And because I'm not one for big CGI creature features, really. I'm not a big fan. But this was beautifully done, almost because it was all CGI.
Like Life of Pi.
Exactly. I think Life... Well, little boy with a tiger, basically, film seems to be becoming a genre. But Life of Pi, probably seeing that, told them they could do it.
Yeah.
Made them know we can actually do this. Now, there's been some changes. It's broadly speaking, the exact same story. Mowgli is a man cub who has been brought up, who was found as a baby by Bakheera, the panther, who is played by, or voiced, I should say, by Sir Ben Kingsley. And given,
I think you've got his name wrong.
Sir Ben Kingsley.
King Bensley.
Sorry, King Bensley.
Yeah.
And he's then raised by wolves, and. But then the tiger Shere Khan comes back, who was burnt in the face by man, and so wants to kill Mowgli, and so Mowgli has to go on an odyssey, basically, to find his own people. And he comes across Baloo the bear, and King Louie, and all of this. And also a snake, voiced by Scarlett Johansson. And it's very well done, actually. It's got very good reviews, and it's visually... stunning, actually.
Like, it's a real risk, though, to take on one of the... You would say that's their sort of top three ever animations.
What do you reckon their big ones are? Because,
well, Snow White.
Snow White's the original,
yeah,
isn't it? Feature film animation.
Then you've got in the...
That won, wasn't it, 8 Oscars? It won 1 Oscar and 7 little ones, as a little joke, I think.
Oh, Jungle Book, definitely.
Yeah.
Not 101 Dalmatians.
Cinderella?
Not really. I don't really see him.
Sleeping Beauty.
Not the same. Nowhere near.
I mean, I like the second generation ones, actually. Or
Beauty and the Beast.
Of Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, Little Mermaid, those ones. But so this is it's a couple of things they did brilliantly. Is Baloo? Do you know who voices Baloo?
Not Idris Elba.
No. Who would be the best? Idris Elba is in it, and I'll get onto that.
John Goodman.
No, he's the best Baloo you could possibly think of to play a sort of kindly, lazy bear, is Bill Murray. And the film just so elevates as soon as he's there, because it's like he's written, it's entirely his own dialogue. The rest of it falls into that sort of epic narrative dialogue that every film is in now. You know, it's sort of Lord of the Ringsy sort of... you know, I can't even mimic it, but it's just really earnest. You know, superhero films do it a lot as well. But Baloo's dialogue is just Peter Venkman. Like, he talks like Bill Murray. So it's instantly a real character rather than just someone doing a voice. And similarly, actually, King Louie is played as a basically King Kong-sized orangutan voiced by Christopher Walken, who is terrifying. Like, they're playing him as basically Colonel Kurtz from Apocalypse Now, quite obviously. But almost like a gangster who's like, he's got everything he wants. He's surrounded by smaller monkeys who do all of his bidding, and all he wants is fire. And it's threatening. Like, and it's a really well done bit, you know. It's not like... But it's weird. They've kept two songs. They've kept... The Bear Necessities, which is sort of quite sweet, Baloo singing it whilst he swims on his back.
And is it, who is Bill Murray singing it?
Yeah, and he's doing it sort of like he's just making it up, really, which is really sweet and nice and fits the film.
Yeah.
And then King Louie sings I Want to Be Like You.
Yeah.
And there are no other songs in the whole thing. And that's the only one that's done like a proper musical
and
number.
Christopher Walken singing.
Yeah. It's really strange. They get away with it. It kind of works, but it is odd. But yeah, I mean, they changed the ending, and I think they're wimping out, personally. They make it less meaningful at the end. But it's a beautiful looking thing. And I don't know if kids will like it. I'm sure they will, though, because the animals are incredibly charming. Like, they've studied real animals so well. But there's still a problem with...
Is it as good as the original?
I haven't seen the original probably since I was, you know, 7 years old. Okay. So I can't tell you. I can tell you with the endings that...
Oh, they're spoilers.
Well, it's not really spoilers. I mean, we know what it's Disney. But, they've switch the ending so it's not about growing up anymore, and it's just about victory. And that means it's sort of not what the story's about anymore.
Bullshit.
Yeah, but everything's very well done. Idris Elba is in a three-picture deal, I think, with animations with Disney, one of which was Zootropolis that we talked about last week, and you hated him doing. He's Shere Khan in this. And again, his voice work is kind of iffy. Like, sometimes he's embodying that creature, and sometimes he's just sort of a cockney, and it wavers a lot.
But of all the voices, Idris Elba hasn't got a great voice.
No, I mean, to play, like, the violent...
Shere Khan's
one of the best voiceover jobs ever, isn't it? The guy who played... What was his name? I can't remember. But the guy
the
who played Shere
in the
Khan...
Original was amazing.
It needs to be velvety, doesn't it? With such menace
Not
in it.
Idris Elba... I don't understand what the... I mean, he must know seen someone bum someone.
You think?
Yeah.
But why do you think he keeps getting cast in these things? With that aside.
I do not... no.
Yeah. Well, it's incredible what they can do with computers now, you know. And the little kid is utterly on his own, acting his socks off. Like, you believe it. You totally believe it. Like, they've done incredible work. From the...
Sorry, I'm just looking up Shere Khan.
Oh,
George Sanders. You recognise him from the...
Yeah, no, I mean, his voice in the original is wonderful. But he's in the original Mission Impossible TV series. It looks absolutely stunning, and you buy into that world 100%. You know, the CGI has gotten good enough now. There's still a problem with... creatures having human voices when they have a jaw that doesn't have lips and just does, you know, there's still something weird about giving animals human voices without any change to their, you know, how the voice sounds. You know, it's still a bit weird. You prefer it when they're doing physical acting in comedy over actually just speaking, but it does kind of work. But I read that Baloo, for instance, was so fluffy as a character, which obviously every individual hair is an actual construct in their software.
Yeah.
Every frame which had Baloo in it took 5 hours to render. Every single frame. So they'd have to be certain they'd got it right before they clicked render on that thing.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it's supremely detailed. But it's... Jon Favreau, I think, is a very, very good director. I think he's got such a good technical eye. I don't think he's a genius. And so it's a really efficiently, beautifully constructed film that doesn't do anything we have not seen before. It's a remake for starters, so it's going to feel like we're treading old ground in some ways. But he's gone back and sort of put bits of The Lion King in there, and The Lion King borrowed heavily from The Jungle Book, so it all just sort of circling itself down the plug hole, feeling like we're just doing this again now. Like, the beginning is incredibly Lion King, and there's even a bison stampede bit like there is in The Lion King and all of this. So it's, if I had criticisms, it would be they wimp on the story slightly and there's not enough new ideas, but in terms of delivering a kid's film, it's really good. It's really good.
How many Davids?
I think I'd give it 8.
Yeah. It's got 8 on IMDb. It's a good score.
Yeah. No, it's worth seeing. It's worth seeing.
Mm.
If, you know, it is a kid's film at the end of the day, so you're not going to get much else than that. But I was really surprised how sort of creepy and dark they made King Louis, who is a sort of annoyance in the original, isn't he? He sort of kidnaps him, but in a fun way.
You think you'd have Christopher Walken as Shere Khan?
Yeah. He works as King Louis because they're playing him more of a sort of mafia boss.
Okay.
So that sort of Italian-American thing works quite
true romance.
Well. Yeah. Exactly. But, yeah. No, I was pleasantly surprised because I wanted to go see a different film that you've gone to see. So I went to this instead.
Oh, dear.
I mean,
dear.
I asked the man at the counter where was the best place to sit for a 3D film when he asked where I wanted to sit. I was like, is it in the middle
just here,
or at the side?
He gently undid his trousers.
No, and he just went,
down.
He just said, I don't know, I avoid them like the plague. Whilst looking directly into my eyes, like he was making a judgment call on me.
Did
I was
you
like,
say don't judge
all
me?
All right, mate, yeah.
Did you say don't?
No, I didn't. I just finished him off and went into the cinema. That's all.
That sounds nice.
It's all right. Yes, so that's The Jungle Book. Yeah, if you've seen it and have a differing opinion, why not tell us about it? Or if you'd just like to talk to us about anything you like, then you can email us on dearfilmfandango@gmail.com. Or you can post things you find online, as many of you have done this week, and thank you very much, to our Facebook page. That's /filmfandango. Or you can tweet us at David Reed, at Mr. Merritt Larwood, and no, at Merritt Larwood, at Mr. David Reed, and at Film Fandango. I got that wrong.
When you tweet me at Merritt Larwood, you should always address me as Mr. or Sir.
Absolutely, but don't put in Mr. Merritt Larwood because that's an entirely different guy.
That is a registered sex offender.
So confusing. That is. Because you look like sisters.
He looks very much like me, but Mr. Merritt Larwood is a predatory sex offender who tracks down people who tweet him directly.
Now, if he does exist, this is libel, isn't it? So, shall we see if he...
Not me and Mr. Merritt Larwood, or someone with some weirdo who set one up now.
Someone who's set up... let's have a look. I'm looking it up. I want to see if you've just slandered someone.
Also, why are you doing that? I've been listening to the podcast, and they do this thing which we don't do. They go, oh, please make sure you subscribe. We don't do that.
Yep.
And they also say, please write comments on our... on our iTunes page. Because
reviews.
I mean, we've got quite a few bad ones, but
no, our rating's all right, isn't it?
But if you've enjoyed it, then why not write a review?
Yeah,
on
if you end up downloading it every week anyway, then why not subscribe? It helps our visibility, and then more people can find it. Yes, I think it's time for this.
Well, someone's written in on our Facebook page, and people have tweeted in at Bill Boswell and Coletta and a few people, because I've watched it down as one of my favourite things, films, to tell me about the fact that they've written...
The BBC is doing and remaking it.
Well, I knew this because I got my voiceover agent, who's never been in touch.
Yeah.
I was on my way to the cinema a few weeks ago, and she said, she sent a round robin email, I don't know if I should be talking about this or not, to literally 35 of the clients saying, there's all these minor parts from Worship Down going, can you send in a showreel, an audition tape for them?
Right.
So rather than going to cinema, I rushed by can you send in an audition tape by 6:30? This was about 1:30. So I rushed home and did 5 hours of doing different voices. And I thought, I saw this come out today thinking, what's the point in asking me? They just ask cast famous people.
Of course, yeah.
And one of them, Idris Elba, apparently.
As what? Is he...
I don't know. Well, the talk is that they're going, John Boyega's playing, John Boyega, Ben Kingsley, Olivia Colman, Nicholas Holt, and James McAvoy have all been signed up to do the voices for the latest Worship Down. I don't think they're ever going to beat that original, but it'll be interesting to see what they're doing. It doesn't say Idris Elba's doing it.
Okay.
There's talk about them watering it down because they're worried about the kids being upset by it.
Why do it then? Right? I mean, this is my question. I understand, to a certain degree, remaking a great story if... you're going to do something different with it. For instance, you know, if you're going to do an entirely different animation style, or if, you know, there's being retold, it can have a different connotations with modern contemporary society than it did back then, or whatever. Even just doing it in widescreen instead of 4:3, which the old one probably is. But why shy away from the violence and the creepiness when that's sort of why we remember Watership Down?
Yeah. Well, and also the voices as well. I don't think you can beat the people they had. You can't beat John Hurt's voice and you know, Ralph Richardson and all the other people. These people's voices aren't... John Boyega's not as good as his voice isn't as good as the original Bigwig, and I'm just not convinced by it.
We should hold judgment until we've seen it, I suppose.
But what annoys me that this is one thing they really crap their pants about. Oh, the violence of it. I think the thing I find more offensive, which is on TV the whole time, I think I talked about this before, is the over sexualization of things.
Yeah.
That are, you know, people wiggling their butts about and almost sort of semi pornographic stuff, on TV the whole time, music videos. That's completely fine. Yeah, a rabbit being killed is somewhat more disturbing than sexualizing kids. I think it's crazy.
I think the kids stuff that I've seen, and obviously my capacity for watching kids stuff has diminished as I have become no longer a kid, but they seem to shy away from death more these days, which I think's a great shame, because it's a part of life and kids need to understand that it happens, you know. They shy away from the difficult topics, basically, in order to make it like candy that you can just consume it and it's all happy making and stuff. The Jungle Book does this at the end of its thing. It shies away from the difficult thing that it's all been about. And I think Watership Down's the same. Like the Doctor Who, prime example, where in the current crop of them, I do watch it, is whenever anyone dies, they'll be back the next episode. And death is no longer permanent. And I think that's damaging for kids. You know, they should go through the feelings of missing and grieving for a fictional character, because that's a way of training wheels for when they actually lose someone. You know, they have to understand the full spectrum of humanity. You know, and I think having just sort of sweeping death under the rug is really probably damaging for society, to be honest.
It's a different reaction, I think, because all this year, obviously, loads of celebrities have died. It's been quite shocking.
Yeah.
But I think we've got our generation, we've always been a pandered generation, we're not used to it. Whereas my grandparents' generation in the war, that was every, you know, in the Second World War, everyone knew lots of people who died. It was a normal, you know, it was a huge part of it, much more in your face part of life.
Of course.
And we were just not seen more shocked by it.
But before, you know, not that long before all of that, infant mortality would have meant that most people were totally au fait with death. The idea that, you know, you'll probably lose one or two of your kids, you know. And we are protected by medicine as well, I guess. But I just think sort of understanding death and understanding it's not, you know, it is permanent as part of life. I don't know. It's a side point, probably. But it does seem like there's a worrying trend to ignore it.
Crazy. Yeah, I think it's crazy. We'll look at. Has we got any other letters then?
Who's written in? We've got an email here from J. Daniel Pacey, who says, "Here's a letter to try and help end the email drought. I don't think I've had a letter read out since you reviewed Life of Pi, mostly due to my not getting around to writing. I saw Midnight Special, I keep wanting to call it Midnight Express, this week, which I was looking forward to as a fan of Jeff Nichols' previous two films, and due to the hushed hype surrounding it. Unfortunately, I was underwhelmed. It was intriguing enough, well made and acted, and featured some nice set pieces, but I found myself bored at times and felt like I'd seen it all before." I felt the exact same thing. Mud is a whole lot better in any case. Spoiler-ish. I did like the cheeky Star Wars 7 reference where Adam Driver mentions the code words Red Saber, assuming that is it was an intentional reference. Here's hoping that one or both of you go to see it so I can hear your opinions. Yes, so I did see it and I felt the same way. It's
did you write this email?
I didn't, no. However, the best film that I've seen recently is an adventure documentary called Meru, which is about the ascent of a lesser-known Himalayan peak by three professional climbers. Much of the climbing footage is beautiful, yet utterly terrifying for a non-climber, making the spectacle of Everest seem distinctly mundane. Additionally, some of the experiences that the team endured prior to their attempt are almost unbelievable, and really put the adventure lifestyle into perspective. Despite my reservations, I would still give both Midnight Special and Victoria 7 Daniels each, but Meru scores a lofty 9 Daniels. Keep watching the films. P.S. This might seem like a bit of a strange question, but can you please continue to feature advertising at the start of your podcasts? It is surprisingly entertaining. Well, I'm afraid that's up to sponsors, isn't it?
So, at the moment, no one is interested.
No one's interested right now, but, you know, but maybe it'll be Christmas delivered again one day. Who knows?
It's Christmas delivered.
You love saying that. Yeah. Well, thank you for that. Have we got any more?
Yeah. Here's one from Tom Saunders. Captain of the Balam Choke Hazard Wolfsball team.
Oh, yeah.
Those are people who follow. Hey, gang. Meets a person that likes writing letters. Just thought I'd recommend a film we stumbled across last night on terrestrial TV, of all things. It's called The Spectacular Now. And the description gives you an idea of exactly how it's going to go. This is the description bit. A hard-parting high school senior's philosophy and life changes when he meets a not-so-typical nice girl. However, the refreshing thing about it all is that all the beats and tropes that you're now imagining never happen. The relationships are realistic, the characters are well-rounded and likeable, and the story avoids all the clichés you'd expect. It has some cracking actors in it. Miles Teller, Shailene Woodley and Brie Larson, who all give charming performances. I mean, they're all Oscar sort of quality actors that they are. It's even got Bubbles from The Wire as a geometry teacher who doesn't give the expected stirring speech about how the protagonist needs to straighten up and fly right or impress him to work any harder. It's possible that because we've never heard of it and it didn't get a UK release and had no expectations, that it impressed us more than it deserves. But I'll probably never watch it again, so I'll never know. It's written by the guy who did The Fault in Our Stars and 500 Days of Summer, so it's clearly aimed at young folk. But not having seen a teen drama that isn't by John Hughes, I was pleasantly surprised. So why not check out that? The Spectacular Now.
The Spectacular Now and Meru. M-E-R-U. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly. There's two recommendations for us. Well, great. Now, Marek, you saw a film this week, didn't you?
Yes, I tried to catch up on... I'm a documentary fan, as regular listeners will know. So I'm working my way through the Oscar-nominated directors, and the one I hadn't seen was Cartel Land, which is... it should be renamed, Don't Go to Mexico. It's a documentary about the Mexican drug wars and the corrupt state of affairs out there. Do you know anything about this for you?
Only a bit. Very little. Sicario is about the same thing, really.
Yeah.
But is a fiction, obviously.
The picture it paints is pretty much that every single town's run by drug lords who are all in the government, and they're making it a bit like Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
But reality. And everyone's scared.
It's funny you mentioned Breaking Bad, because the guy who plays Gus... is the voice of the head of the wolf pack in Jungle Book, which is a very odd choice, but it works really, really well.
He's got quite a nice, gentle voice.
Yeah, he does, exactly. You can believe him as a strong but silent type. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
So these drugs cartels, and they've got these weird names like the Knights Templar, and they just go and kill people, anyone, or they just have revenge attacks on people, anyone who stands in their way. It sounds like a horrific way of life. And the people of Mexico are sick of it. So this doctor decides... his name is... Let me just... my memory's so bad. I apologise for this. I'm just trying to remember the doctor's name.
Doolittle?
Okay, no. Not Dr. Doolittle, but his brother, Dr. Morelles... decides that he's going to set up a new defence, sort of new police, because the police are corrupt, called the Auto Defensor. And they go around to all these towns, and they stay there for 5 days, and they give people their T-shirts, and they get them to defend their own towns.
So they're a militia.
Yeah, and they go around and they target all the drugs people, and there's a suggestion they may have killed some of them or whatever.
Yeah, they're vigilantes, basically.
But they're good vigilantes, and they stop all the...
That's what a vigilante is.
Yeah. They stop all... And then the army come along, and the army tell them to get lost, all the people get behind them, because the army corrupt. Basically, in Mexico, everything's corrupt, and it's a complete mess, all because of drugs. And this doctor looks like he's a saving grace, but then he's in a plane crash, and his right-hand man looks like he might have been corrupted... It's a mildly depressing look at Mexico, which makes you feel that if you're listening to from this in Great Britain, that you live in a very, very civilised place. I thought it was quite entertaining. It wasn't a nice watch, as some gritty documentaries never are. As usual, you didn't really have that satisfaction of the... documentaries can fluke upon having a satisfactory end.
Yeah.
You can never guarantee that. This is just an interesting story with an interesting character who has got his own dark side as well. I would give it 7 Mareks, and it's worth watching if you are thinking of going on holiday to Mexico.
To the north of Mexico, presumably. It's near the border, right?
I presume so, but I like to presume it's all exactly the same there.
All the same, that huge country.
Yeah, all exactly the same, like England is.
Yeah, and in fact, because all of the cocaine is grown in Colombia, probably every country from Colombia to Mexico is exactly the same.
Yeah, it's all covered in this, it's all covered. I mean, they're a shithouse. They are run by drug dealers and never go there.
Sure. They would put all of these drug dealers out of a job by legalising drugs, wouldn't they? Just a thought.
Yes.
I mean, they would no longer have any power overnight.
But the problem is the government are all in on it as well.
Yeah, that's what certainly was the opinion of the local people of Peru when I lived there. They thought that the drugs trade was actually, certainly get backhanders to the governments of every country they need to pass through in order to get to Mexico to then pass it over the border to America where the money is. But, you know, why wouldn't you if the problem isn't on your doorstep and it's incredibly profitable?
Yeah, I mean, people do anything for money, David.
Absolutely, absolutely. And speaking of which, we do this for free. So if you'd like to give us some money, then why not go to our website, filmfandango.co.uk, and there's a little button there at the bottom in the middle that says donate on it, and you can donate pounds to us to keep us doing this, really.
Especially if you are currently under the employ of a drugs cartel.
Absolutely. You have more money than sense, and to be honest, you need to get rid of some of that, because otherwise it's going to destroy you.
And it would be a good... I've got no problem accepting dirty money.
And neither do PayPal. So
it would be a good way of just getting it out of the system, you know.
Absolutely, make it clean money.
Get it off the books.
Everyone who has already laundered their money through our website, thank you very much. It's much appreciated.
It won't be returned.
It will never be returned. Apart from back into a thriving economy. I think that's it for this week, isn't it? Have you got any final thoughts?
Keep watching the films!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford Tough, Built Ford Proud.